6 for the meeting of order. For motion for the minute.
I'll make it.
I'll second it.
All right. Any discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Here. All right. So we will move to the resolution.
Are you kidding?
He's
on vacation for Wednesday, is he? Oh, was he? Bring that information. He's got to Wednesday. He must have been Monday.
He's got to land for election day. Red Bull.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll start with resolution 5. Motion for discussion.
I'll move it. I'll second it.
All right. This is called Governor Cuomo and the state legislature provide to promote and support health and safety standards and sober homes and or addiction recovery for assistance with the National Association of Recovery Resident Standards.
Absolutely. So this resolution has been worked on for about 6 months. It came about actually from the first UCAN recommendations to the legislature, wanting more responsibility by the state to oversee sober homes, sober housing. I worked with a woman that's on our UCAN. Escapes me right now, Liz Berardi and Tom Cajun, and we came up with several drafts, and we thought that this resolution would have the best chance to pass the Assembly and the legislature, because we're calling on the state to make it voluntary that all sober homes register with the state and abide by the regulations of what's called the NARS, National Association of Recovery
Resident Standards.
Resident Standards, right. And there are, this was modeled after actually Florida. Florida has this law. Before we looked at the Florida law, I was looking at this like, there are sober homes in our county that are private and ones that get public funding from OASIS. And neither of them are inspected. And I kind of wanted to force inspections, kind of like
or private.
Public or private. The ones that go under the OASIS blanket, you know, there are standards that OASIS requires of them. But one of the things that I wanted, and I didn't think we were going to get, so we took it out of this resolution, was inspections. Nursing homes and hospitals, they get inspections by the state health department. They get no notice. They're called surveys. And that's the only way the state can really see that the these residences are doing what they're supposed to be doing. So this resolution is a start, and it's actually it actually has affiliations in 20 states. Like I said, we modeled this after Florida, and I think it's a tight resolution. I think it could be passed in the state assembly and the legislature. And I don't know, I'm all for it. I've talked to people who have gone to sober homes, even ones that were under the OASIS blanket, and there are really no security measures to these homes. You can take a guest to come in, they don't even have to sign in. So you don't know who's going inside or outside the homes. I know last year in Newburgh, there was an article in the Times Herald Record. They arrested 19 drug dealers who were affiliated with the sober home in Newburgh, New York. Now, these people are trying to get well, and they're trying to clean up their lives, and they don't have a chance when people can walk into these homes. I feel like they're sitting ducks because you know where they are. You know what their addiction is, and opiate and heroin addiction is a very tough thing to recover from. So,
are some of these recovery homes, are they all alternative incarceration places as well,
part of the Strictly 12.
No, I think what you may be mandated to go to a state home, you know, from the judicial system after you've gone to rehabilitation.
Right. But it's not an alternative. It's not that you go to...
You either go there or you go to jail.
I don't
believe so.
Okay. Because we have one of those in animal protection, the Renaissance Project.
Yes.
And they have a number of standards that they have to abide by. State comes in. Because I don't know if you recall, there was an incident.
Yes.
There
were, absolutely.
Or one of the security guards was stabbed. And it was much like you had explained that people would walk in and walk out. And even some of the residents would be walking around the streets. And that has changed a lot since.
Yeah.
But it's also an alternative to incarceration, so I don't know if the standards have to be met differently for the state.
This resolution isn't calling on that, although our standards are very stringent, and that's why we're asking for voluntary participation. But you're absolutely right. I've talked to people. And I won't mention the home, but it's the stories. And they said the same thing to me, just that their daughter went into this home to try to get well, and it was worse than being out on the street.
Yeah.
Not that, you know, that the facility wasn't, you know, kept clean or this and that, but just that the people who came in and out of the place, it wasn't really. And actually, before last year, insurance companies wouldn't allow you to go to a paid sober home unless you failed your recovery 3 times. And one of the people on Narcan was a priority. Her son failed 2 times and then died. So that was changed since there's state and federal parity laws with insurance that they can't deny a claim to go into one of these sober homes. There's been a ridiculous clause in your contract for when you pay your premium, just, oh, you have to fail 3 times before you're going to actually go into one of these, before we're going to pay for something like this. So, I thank Liz Ferrari actually for spearheading this with Tom Cajun, and I think it's a good resolution, and I'd like everyone from the health department to co-sponsor it if they're
I agree. Now, this was part of the recommendation that they came up with.
I thought it would basically be left up to, you know, the governor's office to set the specifics of it.
Yes.
It says in the first resolve, the Elsa County Legislature calls upon Governor Andrew McCall, the New York State Legislature, and OASIS to approve at least one NAR-affiliated credentialing entity for the purpose of developing and administering a voluntary certification program for addiction recovery residences in New York State.
Now, have you reached out personally to somebody in your, representative
in the Senate? Yeah, well, I was, George Amador in the Senate and Kevin Cahill in the Assembly, but I think we should pass it first. Now, last month we sent from this committee also, there was a dyslexia bill, and we got a letter from Senator Bonestack. He's seen it, and he said that he's going to work on this next session. And the bill is in the Education Committee, so if you guys want to see that, we got it. So they're reading them.
Yes,
but I'm going to reach out.
Yes,
I'm going to reach out after.
No, I kind of face the theory that he's memorializing resolution is just, you know,
like that.
Political because nobody reads, they must get flooded.
That's right.
Who knows how many. But, yeah, no, I think this is good. Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I definitely put my name on it. Everybody else.
Yeah, so I guess actually the protocol is to let the clerk know. So
I don't know. I'll put it on your phone and I'll text Kevin Robbins.
Excellent.
All right. Any further discussion?
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Resolution 470 is amending the agency budget to accept increased funding for the New York State Office of Mental Health for a 2% cost of living adjustment. Move for discussion.
Move it.
All I'll second it.
This is an increase.
Yeah, that's coming from the state.
No,
initial increase to the county contribution. And that's all as a result of the modification, so it's 0.2%. So there's a little bit of $10,000.
That's all
it is.
Yep.
Thank God.
Yep.
Okay.
Good night.
All right.
Any discussion?
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. All right. Okay. We will move on to resolution 474. This authorizes the chairman of the county legislature to execute a lease agreement with Leland Holdings for office space from the Department of Health and the Department of Public Works. Move it.
I'll move it.
This lease, it's for office space in Willow Park, on Kingston. I don't know exactly where that is, you know.
That's down at Kingston Plaza.
Okay.
You know where the Castle Mountain Railroad is between?
Yeah.
Willow Park.
Okay. It is required through WIC and FTE prevention. With 3-year leases, a little over $36,000. But I think a little under 3,000 square feet, or it has to be about 3,000.
Well, at one time, the entire Department of Social Services occupied every building down there.
Mm-hmm.
And those buildings were, they're actually trailers, they're modular trailers connected yeah. together. Because when I worked at Information Services, I had to wire them
yeah.
and, for internet. But,
they
were on the bigger building,
mm-hmm.
on the, I don't know what that's called, Plaza Room.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But,
yeah, I guess this is,
yeah.
I don't think it's a new program.
Oh, okay. No.
I don't think it's a new lease. I think they're currently there, so it's just an extension. Compared to the 30 years, taxes, utilities are included, and the county can back out at any time when 30.
Notice,
I think,
mm-hmm.
that
yeah, I think that's
boilerplate.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
we're paying the taxes.
Yeah, taxes and utilities.
Triple net lease on this property.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't have the contract.
It's
got
behind the orange.
Oh, behind.
The orange.
Behind the
orange. Yeah, everything should be in the gold.
How do we get it?
I should ask Ken.
He was here before you saw him.
No, I didn't see him. Oh, Ken Cornell.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant Ken Ron.
Oh, Ken Ron. Oh, he's here too?
Yeah, I saw. No, I didn't see Ken Cornell.
Well, I
can't read the whole contract before I vote. So you said that that we're paying the taxes and
we're
going
to the taxes.
Yeah, it's like around the main page.
Yeah,
and,
but it's all taxes and utilities included.
Well, that's why we do that ballot referendum.
First of all, we can move on.
First of all, we're paying our own taxes.
There you go.
We're paying the taxes. You know, so what we're doing is we're using the taxpayer money to pay the taxes on the property and then collecting a 40% share back because that's what we get for the property tax.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know the 20%, but it's kind of weird. I don't get why we do that. I mean, there are, you know, commercial landlords that have to pay property taxes,
mm-hmm.
and they don't, you know, I mean, maybe what they do is they charge more rent to include the taxes in the thing, but the actual itemized independent taxes.
That's why you can't get a decent apartment for the decent price in this part of New York
because their property taxes are so high.
Well,
I guess maybe I answered my own question, though, because really,
so I appreciate
that's what you have to do. You have to include everything. The taxes
right. was a rhetorical question.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's just that when it's broken down, it seems so,
yeah.
so more violent, you know.
Oh, taxes.
Okay, never mind.
All right. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor.
Bye.
Righty. What do we got? New business, old business, anybody?
I just, you know, I had my rant last month about my friend who got transferred from Vassar College and shipped off to Oldenville. And I mean, I don't know where to start because
it's common knowledge throughout the healthcare field that there are some kind of deals that go on between the nursing homes and the hospitals to get patients, and patients who are going to be paying Medicaid or Medicare and make the facility more money. So I don't really know where to start, because I don't want to make accusations without proof, but, you know, just wondered how many people do the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, you are on the same end of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's called cherry picking, and that's what we were afraid that was Golden Hill was going to become when we sold it, and we were assured that no, there's not going to be any cherry-picking, and that there was going to be a division of the Office of the Aging that was going to oversee to make sure that there was no cherry-picking in the county. Now, I'm sure that has never happened. How can they possibly oversee that? They would have to be five or six different places at once.
Yeah, that's what I could do.
I don't know, I'm still working on it.
That's it. Well, it's like an ethical issue. I guess if there isn't any policy that prevents it. And you got to think, it's also, they're in the business to make money.
They get a New York State inspection that's supposed to be posted.
Yeah.
To the public, so.
Oh, yeah, surveys.
Oh, yeah, maybe, I don't know, it's their inspections.
No, they're called surveys, yeah. They're online with the State Health Department. I saw the last survey they called me. Whenever the state doesn't like certain things, they call them deficiencies.
Right.
And the facility, you know, is allowed a certain amount of deficiencies, and certain ones have to be fixed right away, and certain ones are part of a plan, and blah, blah, blah.
Deficiency.
Possible.
Yeah.
The marble deficiencies.
The marble. Is there anything else?
We're gathering on the chance to send him the copy. I just got the final copy of it. I'm going to be sending you a copy of the letter. So pretty much that's the letter that came out of another discussion we had in UCAN. Where in the Southern District, the U.S. Attorney Steve Bahar has, within his representatives from DEA, reached out to local law enforcement asking for them to directly start a line of communications in terms of opioid and heroin-related deaths, because they're going to be making a more concentrated effort in prosecuting dealers and the cases of overdoses. He just recently made this announcement as part of another announcement with increased education events that will be hosted through the DEA as well. But merely in terms of prosecution, it's something that we talked about in UCAN and requested that, or we're represented by the Northern District attorney. And so we have put together a letter that she's making copies of to send to the Northern District requesting whether this is something they're also looking to participate in. It's something that in Jay's conversations with Sheriff Van Blarcom, he is open to providing, cooperating with such information, exchanging lines of communications. And us as members of UCAN have supported, so we would like to see if through Chairman Lopez to get the Health Committee support, and then also through Chairman Briggs to get the Law Enforcement Committee support.
Anything that actually tries to get to the root of the problem, I think is a step in the right direction.
And I think in his op-ed that he wrote in the Daily News when he first announced this increased initiative, he said it well. He said, we must help addicts as well as punishers. So I think, and it's also, we want to, you know, have that dialogue. It's also just to get information for us and our, you know, is this a possibility of something we can be being more proactive with the Northern DA if he's, you know, as open to it as Pipahara is. I mean, obviously, Pipahara has been very, a much more forward, thinking and aggressive DA that we've heard of in the news in a long time, so. But I think if we can participate, we should.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, I think that's good.
So that's for your review. Jay will eventually be having, will have probably the next meeting, because you can meet after our monthly meeting, so she'll have at our regular legislative meeting a final version to sign. And if you have any thoughts or concerns up until then, just let me know. I just wanted to give you guys plenty of time to look over it.
Anything here about closing off the borders to keep the actual drugs from getting to the drug dealers?
This is specifically related to the course of prosecution, but I think...
And sharing information.
So sharing information as well. And TJ's brought up a good point too, and we'll also see that something we'll talk about in the budget in terms of medical examiners and their ability to, you know, work and share information as well. And
sort of looking to put the fear of God into drug dealers, basically.
So yeah, they're looking at that option.
They're talking about it with, like, pill opioids too, in addition to just heroin?
Yeah, anything with actually, I mean, narcotics in general. I mean, it doesn't exclude, it doesn't have to just be a heroin pusher. It could be, you know, push other narcotics. And I believe they would still, if they had, the problem is having the cases presented to them and effective and having that line of communication already set up with his, with the representatives from the DEA who are under the district attorney.
It has an extra element of risk involved for drug dealers because if they're afraid that they're going to...
And often as you
get indicted and convicted of murder...
Yeah, and also, and also as you see the realities we've actually seen during this surge is that it's not just a localized issue, but the case in which the Northern District Attorney and working with the Southern DA and local law enforcement was prosecuted, it was from Kingston to Poughkeepsie to the city and across multiple state lines. I mean, there wasn't, you know, the federal government and the northern and southern DA, they had such more resources in terms of where the real root of a lot of these narcotics are coming from to prosecute a much broader stroke of those involved in cases where there's overdoses, especially where you have cases that now where you're finding that they're purposely tainted with things like fentanyl. I mean, in my town in Woodstock, the two most recent overdoses were, you know, it was during a scourge of fentanyl-tainted heroin within the region. So, you know, different, but again, it's, you know, I think we really need to look to the federal government with the ability to prosecute because it's an intellectually state-to-statewide networks that are really...
Yeah, I think any time we can put more resources on it. Gee, if we can't get them to sell on drugs, could we get them for tax evasion?
In the hard part, you see a lot of people look at prohibition,
how we like that was.
If you talk to a lot of folks in some of these programs that I've visited with, they talked about when they were using, they weren't buying from... locally, they would take it because it was so much cheaper for them to take. They would have, it was almost incredible sometimes listening to some of these younger folks talk about how in the morning they'd get up and go to Newark, New Jersey, pick up, come back, and they would get just enough to sell back home. And some of these folks were making two trips to Newark, New Jersey in a day. They could get on the tramways and take it down to the city and meet. I mean, because it's not just, you know, within Ulster County. County by county, state by state, the way these networks are working, even personally, not just, you know, who actual drug dealers even uses as well.
Right. Yeah, the resources are in different areas. I think some people are making that argument about in Colorado that people are only allowed to buy so many ounces of marijuana. I don't know if it's a day, so many purchases a day. But yeah, the problem is that people are going there from different areas.
They're buying, you know, they're bringing it to Arizona and stuff, but I don't know if that's my idea, but yeah, I think this is a good, and again, we'll have the final version available during our regular session, sure, and then we'll present it to you, Ken, that next day, and hopefully get it under the review.
Motion adjourned.
I'll make a motion adjourned.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.